Good morning, everybody. It's so nice to see you all here in spite of our snowball-sized snowflakes that are falling outside. If you would silence your cell phones, let us listen with reverence to Arlen's prelude. Thank you very much, Arlen. That was beautiful. Our pulpit guest today is Dennis Baker. He's served our church in many ways over the years, and we're glad to welcome him to the pulpit today. And now for our announcements, Paul Halleck has one for all of us.
Anyway, we were going to go out to the Johnson Ranch, and obviously we're not going. But we will be meeting at the Dowers at 4 o'clock. I'd like to share with you another announcement. I'm going to read it basically. I've got some good news to share. Our church is very fortunate in that this week we have been the beneficiary of a Steinway baby grand piano, which is now sitting up here in front and be a regular part of our worship. The gift has been given by Marie Robertson to us. Although Marie has had a very serious stroke, she long ago determined that this piano, initially owned by her in-laws, Grace and Mont, was gonna ultimately come to our church. We did have professional piano movers, thank God, moving this piano from Robertson's home to the sanctuary. General Robertson's home sits up on a hill, and they did a great job getting it in. Obviously, we had to move the previous piano. It went into the inner room. The inner room piano went into the fellowship hall. The fellowship hall piano came back upstairs and is now across from the boardroom. Again, thank God for professional piano movers. We are grateful to Marie and Rob and their whole family. Sue Dow, the oldest daughter, has been very helpful in this process. Amber has contracted with a piano tuner who will be here later to tune it. I wanted to wait 2 or 3 weeks to get the piano acclimated to the temperature in the room and the level of humidity before doing that. We are grateful, and we ask you to continue to remember Marie in your prayers. She's very serious. Thank you.
We have a busy month ahead of us. We have several activities that are happening in November, three of them, and one, the first one will be November the 3rd. That's All Saints Day. And if you would like someone to be recognized during the reading of the names, you may turn that information into the office by noon on this coming Wednesday, or you can put the necessary information on a card in the offering plate today. We also will have a congregational breakfast on November the 3rd. Stewardship is hosting that at 9 o'clock in Fellowship Hall, and everyone is invited. There will not be an adult Sunday school class that day. Consecration Sunday is also November the 3rd. Everyone is asked to bring their pledge cards to chapel or to this service, and the 2020 budget will be presented to the congregation on Sunday, December the 1st. On Veterans Sunday, November the 10th, Raylan Heck will be hosting and honoring the veterans following this service with a brunch. There will be a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board by the office, and I know he would appreciate it if you would sign it so he would know how many people to prepare for. Our opening hymn today is our song called O Jesus, I Have Promised. It's on page 612, verses 1, 2, and 4. But first, stand and greet everyone around you. Would you please join me in the call to worship? Come, our Lord and Teacher, teach us how to praise and honor you. Come, our Lord and Teacher, show us the way to live and to love.
We come to follow and obey you, and to work for your pleasure.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your light is the only light we need as we travel through life's mystery. Your word is the only voice we need to hear, that still small voice that leads us to the place where we should be. Your presence is the only company we need as we walk this narrow road, and your fellowship is the warmth we crave to help us on our way. Hear us now as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of prayer this morning is number 86 in your hymnal, verses 1 and 3, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We invite all of the children to come forward at this time for children's time.
Good morning. I see it? He's dangerous. He's got the basket. Oh, dear. All right. You're going to talk about the basket today. No, you're not? Oh, you want me to? Come on. Right here. There you go. Oh, you got a butterfly on your shirt, huh? Yeah? Do you think it's safe to open it? Uh-oh. Do you hear that? It's making noise. Is it dangerous? Does it bite? Does it move? It doesn't move? Oh, it has wheels. Is that what I hear? Is it a spinner? All right, I guess I better look. Oh. Oh, my. Look what we have here. I have not a clue. We have a car. It says Lowe's, number 48. Is it a race car? Does that mean it goes fast?
It's a wind-up.
It's a wind-up. What does that mean? Push it back. Oh, should I do that? I'm going to have fun with this. Doesn't go very far. It crashed. Now we have another. Is this a wind-up too?
A Pinewood Derby car.
Yes. You can tell I'm out of time. What is a Pinewood Derby car?
We race in the Pinewood Derby race.
You race it in the Pinewood Derby race. Okay. This is number 43. Can you all see it here? I guess we like blue. Number 43 and green wheels. All right, now here is, I have not a clue. This is, what is this? This is a Pinewood Derby car too?
Yes.
This is a car?
No, a Pinewood Derby car.
A Pinewood Derby car. All right, can you all see this? This looks to me like, I'm not sure. Somebody knows what it is, huh? Where does somebody sit in here?
No.
You don't sit in it? Okay, I'm not going to even go there. We have three different cars here. Three different types of racing cars, correct? Now, how am I going to put this into our study of creation? What do you think? How am I going to do that? Three different racing cars. Well, all I can think of is that God gave us the ingenuity, the creativity to come up with, with three different types. Thank you, dear. Three different types of wheeled vehicles to race in. How many of you have ever had been in a race car? Anybody? Nobody. I haven't either. I don't know that I'd want to be in a race car. They go way too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been in a race car? Have you been to a racetrack?
No.
No. I haven't either. And but these are all blue cars. But didn't God give us a rainbow of colors? Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
There's black on the middle one.
Yep, there is black on this one. Oh, it's got a design on it. I didn't notice that.
It's Hawaiian.
It's Hawaiian?
Hawaii.
I'm lost on that one. Say that really loud.
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yes, Hawaii.
Okay. So God gave us the ability to create beautiful designs. I wish you could all could see what's on this one because it really is unique. And even though it's black and blue, not bruises, black and blue, it's really awesome. And this one creates, I'm not sure what it creates in my brain. I'm not sure. What do you do with this? You just push it down the road?
You can push it hard and you can race with some, that one.
You do it. Okay. Well, this is a number 39. Oh, that's a 43. And this is a 48. God gave us also the ability to give numbers. Does that mean he gives us the ability to think? Yeah, to think and create all kinds of things. And this one I'm going to hold up again because it's weird. I guess I don't have boys to know what this is. I do have a boy, but I don't think he ever did this either. All right. So God lets us think and create, right? Have you created something?
Yes.
What?
A treasure box.
A treasure box?
Out of wood, yes.
Out of wood. Awesome. Have you created something?
I don't know.
You don't know? Did you create love for your mom and dad? Or did God give you love for your mom and dad?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. I'm not sure. Did you create something?
Yeah, because all my dad's clothes used to be in his house. I got to get bigger, but I got to get angry.
And God gave us beautiful little children. And what have you created?
Artwork.
Artwork? What kind of artwork?
I make sculptures out of cardboard.
Sculptures out of
cardboard.
3D sculptures. Anybody out here created something? I don't see any hands raising. Anybody here create something?
Music.
All right. Bells? Yeah? Anybody else create something? Come on, I can't see hands. Put them up high. Yep. What?
Created that car that has the...
Ah! Oh, there's Grandpa did that, huh? The weird one that I don't know anything about? Well, I learned something today. So God also gives us the ability to learn, right? All right, well, let's close in prayer, shall we? Repeat after me. Thank you, God, for giving us the ability to create, to think, and most of all, to love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, now, which one of you gets to take the basket home this week? You want to take it, sweetheart? Okay. I think we have to give these cars back. Okay? There you go, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, that's... Okay. You take the basket, Macy, okay? All right. Let's go to Sunday school, shall we? All right.
Our card shower this morning is for Wanda Hall. Wanda continues to be out at Mountain Plaza. She is suffering from arthritic pain. They continue to increase her pain medicine to kind of make that somewhat bearable. In addition to that, they continue to adjust her medication, and she's struggling a little bit with that. So please feel free to take out a prayer card if you would, please. She has macular degeneration and she can't read the cards, but their family reads the cards to her and they mean a huge amount. I bring news that Chuck Stewart had a massive stroke on Wednesday and is at Wyoming Medical Center. This occurred about noon on Wednesday. The prognosis was not good at that time, and the prayer chain went out asking for prayers through that time period. And if you do not believe that prayer works, Chuck is doing much, much better right now. It is anticipated that he will be moved today from ICU into general hospital room. So continued prayers for Chuck and for Susie. The ironic thing in talking to Paul here on Thursday was is that while they knew nothing about the stroke, this weekend all of Chuck and Susie's children were due to be in town. So they are in town and able to be with Chuck and Susie. So continued prayers for healing for him in that. Monica Decker was admitted to the hospital this week back in. She is still at Wyoming Medical Center, but we anticipate that she will be moving either to Elkhorn or to Shepherd of the Valley tomorrow to do some rehabilitation. So continue prayers for Monica as she works through her illness. Prayer concerns that we had this morning from the chapel service. Terry Morrison is doing much, much better with her arm. The surgery's doing great. She was actually in chapel service this morning. And she wanted to remind everybody that the prayer cards that she had received meant so much to her, and that in reading them, that they do make a difference. So that's how important our prayer cards are. So if you often wonder, you know, why do I continue to write these, now you for sure know. Also, we asked for prayers for Larry. He is a veteran, and due to complications with an injury that he received, he had to have one of his legs amputated this week. So prayers for healing for him and for strength. We also asked for prayers for Jimmy, because Jimmy has been diagnosed with prostate cancer and does not yet know the form of treatment or how serious it is. So prayers for him, for patients and healing and knowledge for the doctors. We had a joy in the fact that the Wyoming Cowboys won their home game on yesterday on a cool and blustrous day, but they did it. So, and that, are there other joys or concerns that need to be shared with our congregation today? Yes. Okay. So Steve has a friend that will have a biopsy to determine if she has breast cancer or not. So prayers for her. Yes, Virginia.
18 months ago, my daughter's house burned in a fire. They got to move into their house this last week and after it was rebuilt. So I thank everybody for prayers for her and her many medical issues, too.
Okay. So Virginia's daughter, her house had burned down about 18 months ago, and that house has been rebuilt, and they were able to move back into it this week. And she just wanted to thank everybody for their prayers for not only for the house and the relocation back into it, but also due to her other health concerns that she's had. So, other prayers, concerns, joys? Whoop. Yes.
I have two granddaughters that just turned one this past week, and I will the last couple of weeks. And just joys that they have celebrated one whole year of great health and happiness.
A joy that we have two granddaughters that just turned one. And then it's just great to have them. And next year about this time, we'll be asking for joys of patience for Grandma as they turn to the terrible twos. So, any other? Seeing none, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. O God of grace, we ask that you be with each and every one of us. Fill us with love, hope, and care, so that as we go out in the world, we are able to spread this amongst our community. God, we know you are with us each and every day, but we ask that you especially be with Chuck and Susie and their family as he struggles with having a stroke. That you be with Monica as she struggles against the disease that she has, and to be there with Cal to make sure he knows that it's okay to take a rest. Lord, we ask that you be with Larry, who lost a leg in service to our country, and to those that are suffering from cancer diagnosis or the unknown of cancer, we ask that you lay your healing hand upon them to let them know that you are with them. God, we have many joys. We have many young children that we love to hear their voices ring. We have people moving back into homes from disasters. These are joys that you give us. Lord, we are so ever thankful for all that you do for us as we are your disciples. In God's name we ask. Amen.
A few years ago, several of us enjoyed a Bible study that had been written by Joanna Weaver called Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World. Joanna has written many books and studies, and today I would like to share with you one of her daily devotionals from her book, At the Feet of Jesus. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous and the unrighteous, to bring you to God. It's hard to imagine that the Creator of the universe wants to know us. We many times feel so unworthy. That's why so many of us persist in thinking that we must earn our way to heaven, that only the super spiritual can really know God. We struggle beneath a load of self-imposed obligations. I have to do this, or I can't really know God until I do that. We can spend so much of our lives trying to get ready to know God or backing away out of fear of displeasing God that we never get around to enjoying the living room intimacy Jesus came to provide. And yet intimacy with God was indeed the very point of Jesus' coming and of his dying. You who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2:13. When Jesus died, his cross bridged the great chasm of sin that separated us from God. Now we could come into God's very presence, clean and approved, not by our works, but by his grace. Jesus destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, that had separated us from God. When we couldn't reach up to heaven, heaven came down to us and welcomed us into the living room through the doorway of Jesus Christ. This is the good news of the gospel. The way has been made, and the price has been paid, and all we need to do is come. Please join in singing our communion hymn, We Call Ourselves Disciples, on page 357, verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
As you may recall, on that night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. Also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in it, remembrance for me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
God, who is always faithful, in the big and small things, we thank you that Jesus came to show us how to live a life of faithfulness to you. We thank you for his words and deeds that guide us in faithfulness. We especially thank you that he gave his life in faithful witness to you, so that we can come to you now without the fear of our own sin and of death. Now, as we take these reminders of all Jesus gave for us, fill us again with your Spirit, that we too can live out faithfulness in big and small ways, so that others could know of your love for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you.
There are so many ways to share our time, talent, and treasure with others. One way that women in the church share their time, talent, and treasure is by using their hands to either stitch a quilt, knit a prayer shawl, tie a fleece blanket, or spread peanut butter on a piece of bread. The finished product is not about the beauty of the piece, but rather the hope, the consolation, and the pastoral care that the recipient receives. With each stitch on the quilt square, with each knit one, purl two on the shawl, with each knot tied on the blanket, with each sandwich that is made, prayers are said for those who will be kept warm and those who will be fed. Kathy Malloy recently received a prayer shawl. She shared that she can feel the prayers and feel the comfort when using the shawl. She said she couldn't prove it, and those with faith know that she doesn't have to. Find your way to follow Jesus's example of generous giving. The diaconate will now receive your offering. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us to follow you as disciples. Help us to respond wholeheartedly without counting the cost. Lord Jesus Christ, you invite us to proclaim your gospel of hope and salvation here at home and to all nations and peoples. Teach us to be faithful evangelists in word and in action. Lord Jesus Christ, you have given us every spiritual and material blessing. Show us how to share our gifts with others and inspire us always to follow your example of generous giving. Gracious Lord, teach us to give with a joyous and grateful heart that we may provide hope, consolation, and pastoral care to your people, giving glory and honor to your holy name. Amen.
Good morning. I'll be reading the scripture in just a second. But first, we were talking earlier about prayer cards and how much people appreciate those, I was reminded that Jean received a nice packet of prayer cards a few weeks ago, and we were really touched by those cards. And he doesn't remember things very well, and yesterday I came across that packet again, and I brought them out to him, and he enjoyed reading them a second time, and I want to thank you all for those cards. Our first reading from the New Testament is on page 25 in your pew Bible. It's Matthew 23, 1 through 8. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students." And the second reading is from Philippians 2, just two verses, 12 and 13. "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure."
Well, good morning. I'm going to come down here. They told me the handbell choir was going to play today, so maybe I would want to stay up there and do that. But when I got up there and looked, there's two Bibles, a glass of ice water, and a fire extinguisher. So I think they were looking for fire and brimstone today, but that's not going to be the main focus today. So I'll move out of there and move down here. So appreciate everyone coming out on kind of a blustery, snowy day, but what better place to be than in the warmth of God? So, as I was preparing for the message, I took a look at the liturgical calendar to see what the topic of the week was in the calendar. But you know, one of the things, greatest things about being a guest is when you look at that, you go like, I don't really want to talk about that, so I'm a guest, so I don't have to talk about that. I can talk about what I want to talk about. So we're not going to follow that right away. So if you were hoping for that, I apologize to you right away. But we're going to talk about something different. The other thing I do is I try and research what would make me a better speaker. So one of the things I learned this week is when you start out, you want to share some information that they may or may not be aware of. So Rick, if you would please put this up. Did you know that a pumpkin's circumference divided by its diameter equals pumpkin pie? So there you go. You probably didn't know that. And that. So, and then it said share just a little bit of humor. So does everybody know where Noah kept the bees on the boat? In the archives. That's about as little a humor as I can give you for this morning. So, okay. So here we are talking about being a disciple. So what's it mean to be a disciple? Well, you know, it's on our sign. It says, First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. What's that mean? Disciples. What is being a disciple? So I started looking back at this and thinking about the whole thing and began doing a little bit of research on the deal. And I kind of thought back to my youth. So when I was growing up, one of the major things that was important to do in the church was to be able to pass the minimum requirements in order to be baptized so that you could belong to the church. So there was always like a list of about 10 things you had to do. You had to memorize. You had to memorize the books of the Bible. You had to know Psalms 23. You had to know the Lord's Prayer. You had to know all these things. Well, I wanted to be part of the church. So I really went about thinking and studying and memorizing all of the minimum things that I needed to get done so that I could be baptized and be part of the church. Because, you see, I kind of felt like it was being part of the club. You know, you went to Sunday school, you went to church, but if you weren't a member there because you weren't baptized, you weren't part of the club. You were kind of on the outside of the circle. So I hurried up. I made sure that I could remember and recite the books of the Bible and the Lord's Prayer and Psalms 23, and I hurried up and got through it. And then they signed off on that certificate saying, yes, he's passed. Woohoo! And then up to the baptismal we went, and kadoosh, kadoosh, congratulations. And that you're now a Christian. You're a member of the church. Woohoo! I'm in. It's what I wanted. You know, because now people would say, I'm part of the church. I was part of the group. But you know what? I don't think I ever really got what that meant. You see, because what I had focused on was doing the minimum requirements to be part of the church, instead of understanding what being part of the church was about. So I started thinking about this week, and it was kind of like, okay, what's this really mean? So I found the scriptures and I read them, thought about them a little bit longer. I did a little bit more research. And what I really found is that if you look at the New Testament is wrote about disciples, for disciples. And it was wrote by disciples. So you really think about that. So what's a disciple really mean? Is that just a category? Is that a higher category than being a Christian? So is there like a circle and you say like, well, I'm a Christian. And then you're inside that circle, but I'm also a disciple of Christ. So that puts me in another circle. So there's a hierarchy to this deal. And once I get inside those circles, does it become part of the deal well, I'm good to go, because here's what they tell me outside the church. All you got to do is come to church every Sunday for an hour, before you die, repent your sins, and you'll be in the kingdom of heaven. That's all you got to do, right? That's not quite what Jesus had in mind for us. Now, when you start looking at Jesus' teaching during the New Testament, what you begin to see is that Jesus didn't define himself or his religion by having boundaries or circles. In fact, the ones who considered themselves to be in the inside, in the know, the ones who already knew that they were going to be moving into the kingdom of heaven, he really didn't want much to do with. So the Pharisees and the prophets and the priests who said I know that, you know, you need to fast on these days and you need to do this and you need to do this and you need to do that. Jesus didn't believe that they knew their way or that they knew God. But what he did know is that when he traveled across the country, he talked to everyday people. He talked and healed everyday people. Some people who weren't considered to be good. They were outcasts, misfits, criminals, prostitutes. Yet he talked to each and every one of them. And while the priests would look at that and say, well, they're not part of the circle, it didn't matter to him because there are no boundaries in being a disciple. You see, being a Christian is something that's not really in the Bible. It doesn't say go forth and become a Christian. It says go forth and be a disciple. And in fact, if you look, my research came up with is there are three times being a Christian is mentioned in the Bible. 297 times it says disciples. And what's a disciple? Well, sometimes in the Bible, it's described as being an apprentice. So now you start thinking about this. Okay, a disciple is an apprentice. So here Jesus is gathering his 12 disciples, his 12 apprentices, and showing them the way that they need to go forward and to work for God. And so after Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples went forth and they spread the word. They went to different parts of the country. They spread the word. They talked to people. They let people know. They wrote the books. They chronicled Jesus' life and his teachings so that we as disciples or apprentices can continue. Because you see, being a disciple is not about just attending church on Sunday and then going like, yeah, I went to church on Sunday, I wore my best suit, it was good, I shook a lot of hands, said amen several times and walked out, now I'm done, I'm busy the rest of the week, so don't bother me with this stuff. No, not good enough. But on the same token, when you read through Jesus's sermons and his topics and his conversations with people, you see that he really didn't say, I want you to change. You don't have to change yourself to be a disciple. You are who you are because God made you that way. But perhaps you need to understand that there's more to doing it in this world with Jesus than there is waiting until you get ready to die and then repent for your sins and then enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that can be simple little things. That can be a prayer card. that brings joy to somebody's life. The knowledge that somebody cares about them. A phone call to say, as, hey, I was thinking about you today. I know things aren't quite going right well. Just wanted to let you know I said a little prayer for you. Walking down the street, smiling at somebody and saying, hey, good morning. How's your day? Helping out, build a sandwich, and handing somebody a meal when they can't afford a meal. You see, these are the things that Jesus taught his apprentices who now teach us as apprentices. So, the words up there talk about, you know, listen to what the priests and the Pharisees say, but don't do as they say. You see, because you don't need to have the title of regional minister or senior minister or associate minister or chairman of the board, chairman of the elders, chairman of the diaconate, or anything else like that to be a disciple. What you need to know is you need to have Jesus in your life. Because Jesus taught the Word of God. Jesus taught us what we were supposed to be doing on this earth as we go forward. And that's what we need to be doing. That will get you the entrance to the kingdom of heaven. And I won't tell you that if you confess your sins right before you die, that won't get you into the kingdom of heaven, because I don't know that. Maybe someday I'll come back and let you know. But in the meantime, right now, I can't tell you that. But what I can tell you is when you read the New Testament and look at it from a standpoint of teaching his disciples, his apprentices, that it really means to do his work today. So whether you're rich, poor, healthy, unhealthy, whatever, you are a disciple. You need to center your life around Jesus and God and let the rest of it go. Because you know what? People on the outside are just as important as the people on the inside. Maybe even more so. So if I leave you with one thing I want you to walk away with today, it's joy. And you say, well, why is joy? Well, I want you to think about this, because I've been doing this for about 3 weeks now. Joy. Jesus, others, you. You get up in the morning and say, I got joy. I got Jesus, I got others, and I got myself. I can think about Jesus' work and what it meant for me and how he died for my sins. I can think about how I can be nicer to others and maybe help out somebody. And for me, it's about reading the Bible, feeling good about myself, and doing something good for myself. So when you leave today, please take joy with you and spread that joy throughout the world. Amen.
Okay, let's sing our hymn. Just As I Am, on page 339, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
and our benediction, go into your week knowing you are loved perfectly, saved eternally, and empowered as a disciple of Jesus to share God's love with everyone you meet. Amen.
Ooh.